Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Tims and the Podcast. This episode was brought to you by our sponsors, footballprizes.co.uk. This week's Celtic competition is another belter from them. It is a Leo Labada signed and custom framed Celtic shirt. It's a one of a kind prize. You'll not see it this end like this anywhere else. So it's a great one to win if you're lucky enough to get that winning ticket. They've also got a couple of instant win prizes as well, including a Leo Labada signed Celtic montage and a signed Celtic Park street sign. So that's another cool one. If you're lucky enough to get given ticket number 11, you'll win that straight away. And there's also a load of instant win prizes for some site credit on football prizes that you can use on the Celtic draws or any draw on football prizes. So thanks to them for their continued support, and we'll get on with the show now. Hello and welcome back to Four Tims in a Podcast. It's been a few weeks since we've done a podcast, so we'll not bore you beginning with the last 3 weeks because I know you'll be up to date with everything that's going on, but we'll just cover a few subjects today. We're going to look at recent rumours about Leo Labada possibly wanting to leave Celtic this summer. We'll also take a look back at this weekend's Legends game down at Anfield. We've got a special guest on to talk about his new Celtic book, but we'll bring him in later, and we'll also look towards this Sunday's return to Celtic action when we preview the away trip to Ross County. Tony, I'll bring you in first. About a week ago, the Celtic Twitterverse and Facebook and everything was sort of thrown into a bit of a debate when it emerged that Leo Labada's former club president had said that he was 90% sure that Leo Labada was going to leave Celtic to join an English Premier League club this summer, and he says that he could confirm that Abada had knocked back a contract extension at Celtic. First of all, what's your thoughts on that, and would you expect him to leave in the summer?
Again, I think people love a good meltdown when any of these rumours come up. I could see why he would want to leave. He doesn't start a lot. When he does start, he seems to always contribute. I mean, I don't think anybody can bash his stats and his figures for us, and there's never been anything to suggest he's in a huff with the manager or he's not enjoying himself. So I think we've already shown with the departures of Giacomakis and Juranovic that if we continue in the same vein in terms of transfer dealings with this manager, then as much as you might miss him, I think these players can be replaced, and that is the model of the club. You buy cheap, you sell high. We've been doing it for as long as I can remember. So, while he's still here, I'm sure he gets everybody's support. I'm sure he'll still be a vital part of the squad for now until the end of the season, whether that's starting or coming off the bench. It's very possible he leaves, but then again, you've got Maeda, Haksabanovic, and Jota as your wing players at the minute. So if you can maybe get quite a few million for him, I'd like to see he's get better than we got for Giakoumakis and Juranovic. I thought we get done a wee bit for they two. So for Abada, what are you looking at? I don't know, maybe 10 million. Is he worth as much as that? Probably. He's a young player, a lot of potential. He's now played in the Champions League. He's been very effective in Glasgow derbies. There's no two ways about that. So there's no any player at the minute maybe two or three where I'd be devastated if they left. It's just the managers the kind of main man. So as I say, we've become this kind of well-oiled machine. He's a cog in it. If he leaves, I think we'll just fill the space in with somebody else and just keep it going. So as I say, hopefully he keeps going to the end of the season. If he stays, great. Hopefully he can improve with us. And if he wants to go, then best of luck to him. But I won't be having a full-scale meltdown over it, that's for sure.
Aye, definitely. It's interesting. As you say, he's not a guaranteed starter by any means. And his numbers are incredible for somebody so young. He was obviously a massive part of what we done last season as well. And it'll be interesting to see. Danny, I'll bring you in. We know the Celtic support love an overreaction, and I think there possibly was a bit of an overreaction to this, because there's a few sort of dubious links about it in terms of, first of all, how the chairman's previous club would know how Celtic were planning to move forward this summer, and how he came to the conclusion that he was 90% certain he would leave. What's your thoughts on it? Obviously, Abada, when he signed in summer of 2021, signed a 5-year deal, so Celtic are only under massive pressure to sell him on at this point. But as Tony alluded to, do you think it could be similar to the likes of Giakoumakis and Juranovic, where they didn't sign new contract extension and they were moved out of the next transfer window?
Aye, it could be. I don't know what the veracity of these rumours are for his ex-club's chairman. I mean, he could just be... He's got a big... I'd imagine he'll have a sell-on fee that he's probably trying to cash in on, so maybe he's trying to get the party started that way. But we've got an abundance of wingers. We've got Haksabanovic, we've got Maeda, Jota, and then Abada. That's four good wingers. I've probably left one out, knowing the Forest is there as well, of course, in the squad. But it's not as if Abada will go and we'll suddenly be scrapping around for a replacement. But knowing Ange, you'll probably want to bring a replacement in before he lets him go anyway. So who knows? I think Abada's a very good player. I think his stats he's probably outperformed his stats to what they are, but at the same time, he's a fucking brilliant football player. And if he puts it all together, which I think he will in the next couple of years, I think he could go on to be probably the best out of them all, with the potential that he's got, because he's still so young, but he's got a knack for scoring big goals and big performances. And can he really teach that sort of thing? So if natural progression took place and they put everything together, somebody's going to get an absolutely gemmy a player in their hands, and we've got him in now. But we're under no pressure to sell. I think Abada will go for well over 15 to 20 million. I don't think he'll go for less, although I was wrong about Juranovic and Giakoumakis. But I think Abada's get youth in his side, and teams in England will buy him up. We'll think they can get a cheap deal off us, probably. I mean, as you've seen, like even last night with Tierney, I mean, Celtic got robbed, 25 million, we got robbed blind fucky on Tierney. So hopefully Abada, the youth in his side, will go for a lot more money. But I don't think Celtic are under any pressure to sell it at the minute. I mean, in the summer, hopefully, God willing, still, you know, be right into the Champions League. And he's got a decision to make. You know, does he want to play in the Champions League, or does he want to go and fight the relegation down south with, I think, Southampton or a team, or if that's if they even stay up. I mean, they could go down. So it's not really Celtic with a decision to make. It's probably Abada in the summer, and he's never really had a consistent role in the team. He burst onto the scene when he signed, and then I felt he levelled it a wee bit, but then he came back. And Abada last season, from around about December to, you know, March, was really, really good for us. And he popped up with a lot of goals and really good performances, a couple of massive goals for us, and then the same this season. So I think there's obviously talent there. But I don't think the pressure's on Celtic. I'd rather, if Abada wants to move, I don't think anybody will stand in his way. That doesn't seem to be Ange's methods. You know, if a player wants to go, he just lets him go. So the boss probably in a bad spot. But when it comes to the chairman of his ex-club, I imagine he's just trying to get the... He's probably got a 10% sell-on fee or something that he's wanting cashed in.
I definitely, as you say, there could be that sort of ulterior motive. Andy, where do you see Abada's future after this summer? Would you expect him to still be a Celtic player? And does it worry you at all that the fact that it seems to be if players don't commit a long-term future to Celtic or sign an extension, that there is these sort of rumours? Obviously, it came true for Jackie Marcus and Duran, which they've moved on. But does that concern you that it's sort of as cutthroat as that, where players are just moved on at the first opportunity if they don't sign?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think... I mean, the manager sort of made any qualms about it. He's not hidden the fact that if players weren't sort of 100% committed to the cause, then that's what would happen. And that, to be honest, it's I don't mind that at all. It's not done us any harm up to this point, and we seem very proactive in terms of Jackie Marcus, and then obviously bringing in O for him and bringing in Johnston for Juranovic, that we were very, very proactive when they came around. And listen, I'm not going to sit and say that we know the ins and outs and they're the exact same circumstances and all the rest of it, because ultimately we don't fully know. I think there's probably an element of truth in what Danny says. I reckon there's a clause, and it's that these old chairmen's get an invested interest if we sell them for a lot of money, and that's probably what he's angling at. The same way we do at times when you hear about obviously somebody mentioned Kieran Tierney, and you talk about obviously the figures that he's been touted with and at Newcastle, and obviously it pricks a lot of our ears up when we hear about it, because we know there's a sell on in there, the same way obviously it didn't happen, but when Dembele went, you got a sell on was there. It's I dare say it's probably their chairman sort of playing up to that a wee bit and try to get that to happen, but I don't fully know what's happened. I don't think we do, but I like the idea that if players are 100% bought in and invested, then the manager's not going to sit here and sell the idea of selling to them and sell sort of staying and becoming a hero and blah blah blah. I don't need to go out at all, but I don't think they should need that sold to them. So if it's the case that when players are sort of tuning out for that and they're not there with the drive and the determination to force their way into the team in his case, because obviously he's found himself sort of no nailing down that starting position. If he's not up to that, no wanting to do that much to move on and, as you say, go to Southampton and fight a relegation battle, then listen, that's his choice. He doesn't owe Celtic anything, none of this. You don't expect too much loyalty for players like that. If we get a good fee for him, and again, we're proactive in the market and get a replacement, then that's fine with me. As Tony mentioned earlier, I'll not be sort of getting off my heat and calling him for everything. If he wants to move on, then on you go. Get us a good fee. We can be very amicable and we can look to get players in that want to be here and that can improve the squad.
Absolutely. And as you say, I think as long as we continue to bring in replacements, I know Danny mentioned that we were quite stacked in the sort of positions, but I think Ange would still look to replace a player like Leo Bader, especially with the sort of contribution he's been making the last season and a half. But I know some people had sort of questioned whether we were being, I know when Juranovic and Jackie Marcus especially were on the way, people were questioning whether we were sort of lowballing them, but I don't think that's really the case. And I think the sort of proof in that is that the fact that we convinced guys like Cameron Carter-Vickers and Water to sign permanent deals. I don't think they'll be on any sort of low salary. And as you say, Andy, like, it's sort of you're not just getting your wage at Celtic, you're living the Celtic way and you're winning trophies, you're playing in Europe. Like, I think I've not got any sort of worries that players are leaving because we're not paying them enough or whatever. But Bader's still young. I think he could do another few years at Celtic before moving to a top league. But at the same time, as I think Tony mentioned at the top of the segment, it was he's not getting a guaranteed start, but at the same time he started plenty of big games. Like, you think about that derby game at the start of the season, he also started the Real Madrid at home game as well. I know he was subbed at half time that day, but it was a show of faith from Ange, and he's played plenty enough. And the full squad is sort of relied on. So just because he's not starting doesn't mean he's not heavily involved. But it'll be interesting to see, because I think most people expect that we'll move on a few more players in each window now as we sort of progress under Ange. And I think it was Ange that says at the AGM not to get too attached, so it'll be interesting to see what the summer holds, but I'm sure we'll get to that when these moves do happen or don't happen in the summer. But last weekend, their Celtic Foundation hooked up with the Liverpool FC Foundation to host a charity match down at Anfield between Liverpool 11 and a Celtic 11. And Tony, you were down there, you got to experience the game, and you actually got to speak to one of the players afterwards. It was Trevor Sinclair, who I know never played for Celtic, but he's never had his desire and love for the club, and we'll just play that now to let the listeners know what he had to say about the match at Anfield. But
hi Trevor, so your first game for Celtic, didn't go the way we planned, no. But a great day out and a lot of money raised for good causes.
Incredible day out. I think that's the important thing. You know, you look at both foundations, Liverpool and Celtic, coming together. I don't know how many was there, about 50,000.
Yeah.
Incredible turnout, raised a lot of money for, you know, two pretty deprived cities, one in obviously Glasgow and Liverpool as well. So got the invite, couldn't turn it down. It's been a big prayer of my dad's to play for Celtic at some stage. He's from Govan, he's a big Celtic fan, and as soon as I got the call, I couldn't turn it down. So yeah, delighted, honoured to be here, honoured to put the hoops on, and what a welcome from the boys as well. You know, they've been superb, the way they've welcomed me into the group, so absolutely delighted. Yeah,
probably the biggest away support Celtic have had this year, including the league, so they were a fine boys. You must have enjoyed hearing them.
I mean, the atmosphere was brilliant. You know, you can see you're going to enjoy the weekend. Bit gutted we couldn't score a goal for him, even though the referee was a bit biased.
Yeah.
I thought the one that come off the front of the bar, how can it go out of play and then hit the front of the bar? But yeah, apart from that, I mean, you know, it's not really about the result, it's about everyone turning up. People have come from abroad to play for Celtic, I'm sure for Liverpool as well. So, you know, credit to the players, the coaching staff, everyone coming together to raise money for really important foundations.
Bad refereeing decisions. It was like being back in Scotland.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I know.
Even in our charity game decisions.
I know, yeah. I thought we could have got a couple of decisions. Yeah. First goal, I'm not sure whether that was it handball or offside, I'm not sure. And then the second one off the front of the bar, I don't know how that's physically possible to come off the front of the bar. But again, you know.
Yeah, so it's been good fun. It's been good to come down. I'm planning and heading out after it. So
yeah, it'd be a good night out tonight. I think both fans come from the same, cut out the same cloth. So they'll be, I'm sure they'll be fine together partying in Liverpool today. So
especially during the kind of cost of living crisis for so many fans to turn out and pay and try to help the foundations out, as what both clubs are all about at heart and what football's all about. Really.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been to a few games at Parkhead, and, you know, the support, second to none for me, you know, the way that they get behind the team. So yeah, it was an absolute privilege to play in front of them, and shame I couldn't contribute more, but just proud to put the shirt on and play my small part.
Yeah, thanks very much, mate. Cheers.
Aye, so there you go, Tony. It was Trevor Sinclair certainly seemed to enjoy it. How did you enjoy your weekend in Liverpool?
Aye, I mean, the game itself was a bit boring, I must admit. I was kind of glad when Gerrard scored, because I was falling asleep, and I just found the whole thing quite funny, I must admit. I thought his celebration was mental, but obviously Sean, he took the bait, and I thought he would, because he's a bit thick, and fans started launching bottles. I think they were plastic bottles. Not that I'm saying you should throw bottles at players, you shouldn't do that, but it was just kind of daft charity game turned into a bit of a riot. So no, it was quite funny. The games are always kind of, you know, they're just a good, they're an excuse to raise a lot of money for charity. It was fantastic. I don't mean an excuse, sorry. I was going to say an excuse to get pissed, and it's good to raise some money for charity. So, yeah, I spent a couple of days down in Liverpool. I've got family in the world, so it was different class. Had a great night in the Liverpool Irish Centre afterwards. Parliament Shea was singing, he was excellent. Then went and seen him singing in Fitzgerald's as well in Liverpool, and it's a great city, it's a busy city, it was bouncing, and I had a great weekend, and talked to Trevor Sinclair, he was really sound. I get kind of press access through the club, which was nice of him. I did turn up, think 5 hours early, being a bit of an asset for the start. I just wanted to beat Big Arthur Boruk, I must admit, but he wasn't about. So I spoke to Paul Lambert as well, just didn't record that. And Trevor spoke really well. I enjoyed the interview with him. It seemed to do quite well on our Twitter. Quite a lot of people enjoyed it. And he says his dad's obviously for Govan, big Celtic fan, and he I think his dad got to meet Kerry Dalglish, which was his hero, so it was nice for him and his family. So yeah, I was talking to him. I'm in the background there. I'm in Vega interviewing Sky Sports, and you can see him a kind of natural on the camera. So only 14 minutes and 59 seconds of my fame still to get. But he seemed to love it. It was good to see. It was good to see Big Arthur. It was just great to see him. Just an absolute hero for so many people. And on his day, a fucking world-class, absolute world-class goalkeeper on his day. It's a credit to both clubs. Our fans have turned out in such huge numbers to raise money for two great foundations. I go to the kind of Celtic Foundation's dinner in Glasgow at Celtic Park every year, and the stuff they've done has been phenomenal. If anybody follows me on Twitter, they'll see that actually studied and won a chance to play on the Park next season. where I'll at half time, where you see the kind of fat idiots that try and score, I'll be one of them. So feel free to give me a lot of abuse. I'll have my Samaras 9 jersey on, hope to get a goal. So no, the both foundations are great, and it was good to get down and get a good weekend, and then it's back to kind of normality and back to Celtic, the real Celtic.
As you're saying, I think anybody that remembers, obviously you're saying you were 5 hours early for the charity game last season. You turned up 2 hours late for a B-team game, I think, going to crowdfund to get your watch so you don't miss your chance to score at Celtic Park. But now something just a bit different for this part of the show. We have got an offer on, but needless to worry, it is someone who's been on the show before, and I'm sure anybody who's across Celtic fan media will know this guy. It is Hamish Carton from 67 Hail Hail. Hamish, thank you for coming back on. You were last on at the end of last season when we had our end of season awards show. So how are you doing?
I'm all good, Dan. Cheers for having us on again. And it's been a good year or so, hasn't it? At that stage, I think we were all buzzing, but since then, over the last year, just how the team's kept improving, it's just been amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It's crazy. I think it's almost a year since that happened, but now we're hopefully closing in on a second title under Ange, which will be good. But as I said, we can now call you an offer because you enjoyed last season so much that you wrote a book about it. So do you want to tell us a bit about it?
It's effectively the story of Ange coming into Celtic and how he kind of revolutionised the club. It mainly focuses on last season, but it covers a bit of this season as well, up until we kind of started our Champions League campaign. And yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a risk at the time because I think when the idea first came to me, the league was still in the balance last year. I think we were maybe 3 points ahead. We still had to go to Ibrox. They still had to come to Celtic Park again. And I just kind of praying at that stage that we got over the line. Even more reason to want Celtic to win the league than normal, given that the book was possibly there, and obviously it happened. And then just kind of basically wrote away over kind of May, June, July, August, September, and got the book in, and it takes ages to get books published and all that, like 5-6 months, but it's out now, and people can read the story of last season and look back at all those amazing memories and games that you guys would have spoken about, because there was just so many, and so many amazing quotes from Ange and so many amazing players. And it's all kind of written in the book, which is quite nice.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely something to look back on. Last season was really, I know it was a season where they gained our title after obviously the DBS 9 before the season that we don't want to speak about. I know that season was One that we'd rather forget about. I think Tony was approached by about 85 publishers who wanted him to write a book about the COVID season, but there's no amount of money that could get him to talk about that again, I'm afraid. But how did it come about? Was it just something you were approached about, or is it something you've been thinking of doing?
We'd just beaten Ross County last season. I don't know if you remember it. It was a Saturday game at Celtic Park. It was roasting hot. Folk had their tops off. I think Yakimakis scored a hat-trick that day. And a couple of days after that, at that stage and basically at any stage, but last season particularly, you know, Celtic were just on all of our minds all the time. It was an incredible period to support the club, you know, trying to win that league back. And I think I went for a dental appointment or something like that and ended up, you know, having some time to waste before getting the train home and went into my local Waterstones and saw loads of books and was kind of thinking, right, why is anyone not written about this story, like Ange at Celtic? Because it's a pretty amazing story, you know, the way he came in with he was a bit of an afterthought when he first came in, and there wasn't really a huge amount of excitement when we all heard his name at first, but just gradually over time, you know, when he spoke and the way his team played and when he won trophies, people just really got on board, and it was just a great story to tell. So yeah, that was the point where I just thought, you know, this is what I want to do. I was trying to think of reasons why I wouldn't do it, and the only one I arrived at was that it would be a hell of a lot of work over the summer, and that was definitely the case. I put a pitch in to the publishers, who are called Pitch, and they got back effectively saying, yeah, we like this idea, we've got a good record with Celtic Books, and we're happy to give it a go. Yeah, started writing at that stage. Well, I'd already kind of started, but properly got going at that stage and just really made the book the way I wanted it to be. So there's, I think, five chapters. There's about 20 chapters in total, and five of them are like looking back at special games, basically the key matches. So, you know, the obvious ones, the win at Aberdeen, the 3-0 win over Rangers, the cup final victory over Hibs when Kyogo scored twice. All of these games are covered. Then there's chapters on Ange and like he's done in the past, that the likes of Yokohama F. Marinos, Brisbane Roar and the Socceroos, and talking about, you know, his methods with some people that he worked with in the past. And there's chapters on key Celtic personnel, like Callum McGregor's got his own chapter, Kyogo's got his own chapter, even Tom Rogic has his chapter. So it's basically just, you know, a bit of everything in there. And yeah, really enjoyed writing it. I mean, there was tougher days when you kind of had to just make sure you kept writing to hit your word count. But the vast majority of it, like, I really loved and found it quite therapeutic as well. Like looking back on last season and reliving all those memories and speaking to people who were able to kind of talk a bit about them. So yeah, hopefully it's kind of resulted in a decent enough book in the end.
Yep, definitely. I think, as you say, I think the sort of task Ange had when he came in is sometimes overshadowed. I think it's possibly because how well we've kept going, and as the title of the book says, we've never stopped. You've not really had the chance to sort of reflect on it, but I think anybody that buys the book and reads it will really sort of amplify how magic a season it was. And I've seen the foreword was written by a friend of the pod, he's been on here, and he's a regular contributor to 67 Hail Hail, with Celtic former number 7 Scott McDonald.
Yeah, Scott was great with it as well. I mean, when I was writing it, he was the obvious guy because, you know, Australian, knows Ange as well. I think from the start of his career, I think he played under Ange with the kind of young Socceroos, and I think Ange actually left him out of a team once. I think he was Ange's captain, and Ange still left him out of the team, which kind of sums Ange up. Sometimes he doesn't really, you know, care too much for your status, but I think they're absolutely fine now. And I know that Ange actually had Scott McDonald kind of in with him a bit during the recent tour to Australia. I think Scott was hosting some media events and stuff like that with Ange and some of the Celtic players. So yeah, he knows what's happening, and yeah, he was great that he agreed to do it, and just gives the book a bit of stardust, because not too many folk probably care for my name, but there's certainly no Scott McDonald's. And I came up with a name. You won't believe this, right? But I came up with a name before all of the real chat about We Never Stop. I came up with a name, and then I think a couple of weeks later, Sky Sports had a documentary out that was called We Never Stop. And then Celtic brought their end of season DVD out a few weeks after that, and that was called We Never Stop. And the phrase really kind of took on even more meaning at that stage. But I'd just gone for Never Stop, just drop the wee and just make it just a wee bit cleaner. But I was a wee bit miffed when Celtic and Sky started coming up with the same name, because it just looks like I've copied them. But I know you'll believe me in that, mate.
Oh, definitely. And I just think when you were talking there, that's quite unlucky for Scott McDonald, because I'm sure when we had him on, he spoke about how I think Gordon Strachan bombed him out at one of his clubs as well. So for two Celtic managers to do that to him, we'll need to find out if anybody else bombed him out, just to see who might be in store in the future. But no, it's definitely, as you say, it's somebody who's really placed well to speak about Ange and like his connection with Celtic and his connection with Australia. But no, it's definitely looking forward to reading it. My copy is on the way as we speak. If anybody's listening wants to pick a copy of the book up, whereabouts can they get it?
So the best place to try and get it is Amazon. I know for chatting to the publishers earlier this week that Amazon have a lot of stock of the book. They took the vast majority of the copies that have been printed so far. So you'll be able to get it on Amazon. It's a bit more difficult if you're maybe, you know, the other side of the world. I don't know how many Aussie listeners you guys get, or I dare say there'll be people in America, etc. It's maybe a little bit harder for them, but if they check with a local kind of bookshop, it should be there. They may not have stock right now. I know they're going to print more books off. They're in the kind of process of doing that at the moment because the demand's been so high. So you'll be able to get it somewhere. Amazon's the main place. Waterstones have it in store in a fair few Scottish stores, and they'll be getting more in as well. If anyone wants a signed copy for whatever reason, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter and we can try and sort something there as well. I'm happy to do that if people want that, but I don't know why they would, to be honest, but if they do, that's up to them. But yeah, just it's just nice to look back on an incredible season, and I hope if people, you know, buy the book, they'll enjoy it as well.
Yep, definitely. I'll pop the link in the episode description as well, just in case anybody's looking for it. And you never know, bumped any before the game outside Celtic Park. I'll bring my copy before the Rangers game, and you can sign it then as well. But no, so how's things been going for you and 67 Hail Hail? And I seen you were over in Philadelphia recently.
Aye, that was great. I was at the Ploughboy CSE event and really kind of opened my eyes to not to how big a club Celtic are, like, because obviously, like, we all know how big a club Celtic are, but see, when I don't know if you've ever been to anything like that, but see, when you go away to the other side of the world and like you've got an entire pub filled with Celtic fans, like, and I'm talking 100, 200 Celtic fans, all with like different accents, it's pretty crazy. So that was really enjoyable. Super Bowl weekend as well, so that was a really fun one. But no, just in general, probably the same as you guys, it's just really enjoyable supporting Celtic right now, and the team, it's just for me, it's by far the most enjoyable Celtic team I've had in my lifetime. In my supporting lifetime. I don't really remember the O'Neill team. My first season ticket was, I think, 2005. So I don't really remember them. But in terms of the enjoyment this team has given me and just the manager we have, it's unparalleled. I mean, I just think Ange is incredible. Everything he's done for the club. And I just think he's going right to the top of world football, but hopefully, you know, a number of more years at Celtic, and I think that is the case as well. I think he's certainly got far more to achieve at Celtic, and I think we'll have at least another couple of years of Ange, and just really try to enjoy every minute of this, mate. It's probably the same with you guys, just enjoy supporting Celtic and watching this team every week, because as sad I thought as it is, it's not always going to be like this. These are like amazing times to support the club, and just need to try and enjoy them and hope they go on for as long as possible.
Yep, definitely. As you say, I think when you think back to when Rodgers was there, I think everybody was sort of caught up and thinking he was going to be there for 10 in a row. And I think fans are a bit more aware of how good Ange is, and I don't think they expect him to walk out during the season. But I think the sort of, there is the fear that, as you say, eventually, not a bigger club than Celtic, but a team in a better league will eventually approach Ange. And I think we always speak about the way Ange spoke about Josip Juranovic, about how he's ambitious and it's a short career. And I think Ange is very ambitious as well. But I think that at the same time, he's ambitious at Celtic. As you say, I don't think he's going to head in the summer. I think he'll want at least another crack at the Champions League and to really make a mark in Europe. But as you say, it's just about enjoying him while he is here and while we're and enjoying success, which looks like it is going to continue. But just before I let you go, we are back in action this weekend. I know it's been a successful international break for Scotland, and this game against Spain, I know you were there last night and it was a great atmosphere, but it's nothing quite like an afternoon trip to Dingwall on Sunday. Are you looking forward to having Celtic back?
Yeah, it's going to be good, actually. I'm looking forward to the game on Sunday, and I think it's probably a decent enough game to come back to. We're probably going to be missing a good few players, I would say. I mean, we'll wait and see what Ange says, but it seems like, you know, Hatate Moy, I don't think I've been in training yet. Ralston, Abada, and Maida as well, potentially. So, I mean, it could be interesting. We might get to see Haksabanovic start on Sunday. We might get to see Iwata maybe start on Sunday. So that should be quite good. And it's just like, I enjoy the international stuff, and I don't know. I don't feel like the last week's been as much of a drag as normal, probably because Scotland have been decent enough and it's been, you know, two home games and I've been at them both. But just really looking forward to getting back to Celtic now and a kind of clean run at it now until the end of the season. And I mean, there's a lot of big games to come, but for me, it's that that semi-final. That's the major one that I think is going to decide whether we win the treble or not. So it's kind of, my eyes are kind of on that a wee bit, but obviously we've got, you know, another derby before then as well. That's pretty big as well.
Yep, definitely. I should say the big games are coming thick and fast in the next few weeks, but it will be interesting to see how we go, and hopefully we will be discussing our league title and potential treble, as you say. But I'll let you go, Hamish. It was great to have you on, and as I say, I'll put the links for the book in the episode description if anybody's looking, but hope to speak to you in the future, and best of luck to everyone.
I know, I appreciate it, and appreciate the support for you guys as well, and keep up the good work.
Celtic are back this weekend, the internationals are done. I know most people probably enjoyed it a bit more than usual just because Scotland picked up a few good results, but we'll move on to the important stuff. It is Celtic continuing their quest to get their second league title in a row. Danny, I'll bring you in. They're off to Ross County on Sunday at midday. Kickoff is, it's not the worst sort of game to come back to, and I think the fact that it's on a Sunday, I know a lot of people moan when we play after Rangers, but I think the fact that this game's on Sunday will benefit us because it gives our players that were on international duty and our players that are injured an extra day to recover. What are you expecting from Sunday?
I think you're right. Normally, I like playing the Saturday, but it would be really good to give the players an extra day. Players like McGregor that played, you know, 180 minutes over the last couple of days. And you get all the players back that were travelling abroad. I think some of the players had a couple of days off as well. So Sunday will be tough. It's always is up at Ross County, even though I think we've won a couple of games, 3 and 4-1 there this year. But they're tough, tough games, and you never get it easy. So expecting a game, and hopefully there'll be no kind of hangover or rustiness for the international break, and we just kick back into stride again, because I would imagine the gap will be down to 6 points as we go in. But the team have not really gave us any indication that they're not going to be right up for it come kick-off. So hopefully, we're just counting down the games now until we can get far ahead enough that we can think about clinching the league. But I'm looking forward to Celtic being back, because I know Scotland played quite well last week, but I really can't go qualifying for internationals at all. Happy to be a hypocrite and turn up and watch the finals and that, but the qualifying stuff just costs me lots of money, and I kind of just hate it.
No, I think you speak to lawyers when you say that. So shame on France for winning 1-0 the other night. But Andy, what are you expecting from it? As Danny says, the gap will probably cut to 6 by then. And as much as we've got that gap, there's not really any sort of room for error, given that we've got a Glasgow derby in about 10 days as well. So would you expect us to just be sort of back to business? I know there's still questions over the fitness of guys like Tati and Aaron Moy and a few others.
No, certainly there's no sort of let up. And I don't think the manager will let us take our eye off the ball. Like you say, we're coming back with a number of players on international duty. And then aside from that, there's obviously players who had niggles beforehand, and the players who would have been training away at Lennox Town sort of during this break. But I think we're going to the game. I agree with you a bit with Danny says. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that you just go up and win. I know we beat them 4-1 in the cup, but before that was the 3-1 win up there in the league when we played them up at Dingwall. And again, I don't think the first goal came about sort of not long after the second half kicked off. So obviously, you know, it's like you get half time in these games and you start to panic. And then obviously I think it went 1-1 before Jens put us 2-1 up late on, perhaps the 80th minute if I remember rightly. So obviously that shows you it wasn't a sort of easy game for us, wasn't a walk in the park. And I think that sort of same rule will apply when we go up there. They'll try and make it difficult. They'll be looking for us to one, take an eye off the ball and sort of suffer for that a bit of a hangover after the break, which you hope wasn't happen. But I'm looking forward to see the team that lines up. I think, as you mentioned, there's obviously players like Moy and things who've had wee niggles. Maidas was away with Japan and he's back because he wasn't playing and he wasn't fit enough. There's obviously things that have went on with Abada, and it'll be interesting to see the team that comes out. And as I say, I think the manager will be sort of accepting nothing less than players being relentless as we have been. I almost forgot to mention that the game at Parkhead when we win 2-1 and they went 1-0 up. So they've obviously gave us a bit of a test already a couple of times this season. But hopefully it's the same outcome and we can overcome that and get the 3 points. But it'll be interesting, Dan. I know we will come on to obviously talk about predictions and who we think will line up. But I don't think the team will differ too much for Hibs, for the team that lined up against Hibs. To be honest with you, I'd be fairly surprised. Obviously, barring the obvious ones, Maida, because he's injured. But I think we'll come back and it should be the same sort of relentlessness that you've seen. I've got so much confidence in the team and the manager and the way we go about our business that we won't sort of take our eye off the ball, and we won't, when it goes drops to 6 points before we get our game, then that will be quickly rectified. I've got no doubt about that.
I definitely, as you say, although we've won 3 times against them this season already, the 2 games in the league especially have been really tight games. As you say, the first game we played them in the league, it was Kyogo put us ahead just after half time before we were pegged back, and as you say, Yen scored quite late on to make it 2-1. I know Abada then went on and made it 3-1, but it was a tight game that day. And then the other league game, as you mentioned, it was that day that Matt O'Reilly was judged to have handballed it with one of the most ridiculous decisions that VAR has made this season, and there's been plenty, so to get that credit is going something. But it was one of the most ridiculous penalties we've ever conceded. But we came back that day, and obviously that was the game before the World Cup as well, last game before the World Cup even, and Hak Sabanovic done what Hak Sabanovic does. It's that sort of come in and curled one in to give us a win that day. But I'm looking forward to it, because I just kind of get enough of this Celtic team, and I think they'll be buzzing to get back. I've got sort of concerns about midfield, just with guys like Tati and Moy are out, and as Danny said, Cal McGregor's played 180 minutes in the space of 4 days there, so that's where I think that we will benefit from the extra day. So hopefully, I'd quite like to see somebody like Awata get a chance if he's back fit, but it remains to be seen. Tony, what are you expecting from Sunday?
Well, we're expecting us to kind of fly out the tabs and win. Ross County are kind of the low scale club this season. They're in the relegation zone. So, again, we say the same stuff every week. If they turn up, we'll win. I'd like to think everybody fully firing. We should win 3-0. I'll go for Kyogo to get a double and Hitati to score. Why not? I don't know if you asked me for a prediction. I just thought I'd get that in there. But no, I don't see anybody kind of troubling us at the moment. Again, it can happen, but it's just there's just no indication whatsoever that we're going to drop points. I'd like to think we can come through it fine, and then it's on to a huge game next week. I'm sure we'll do our own episode about that, which will probably be a title decider. So. Well, not a title decider. If we win, then it will be a title decider. I can see he's doing a business quite early doors, actually.
Danny, what are you going to go for? Tony's went for 3-0.
I think it will be 3-1 again. And I think we'll pull away late on. And Jota will score 2, at least. We'll get another.
Andy, what are you going for?
I'm going to go for 3-0. In fact, no, Tony said 3-0, didn't he? Tell you what, I'll go 2-0. I think O will be in the score sheet as well. I think it gets, just keep my mind, there's just a side point. I don't know if any of you seen his goal that get chopped off for South Korea. Great finish, Will. So unlucky, to be honest. It looked marginal for the call. But I reckon 2-0, I reckon O and Hatsibanovic will be on the score sheet.
I seen that goal. It was a cracking finish. It was a shame it was ruled out because it was an absolute belter. I think it's going to be a horrible game. I think it'll be 2-1 Celtic, but I think it's just going to take a wee while to break Ross County down. I think it'll probably have a similar feel to the Aberdeen game that we played when we came back from the last international break, in terms of, I think they'll just put 11 behind the ball and hope for the best. And they have managed to score a few goals against us this season, so I think that it will be a tight game. I think Kyogo's bound to go on the score sheet because I think he'll be just desperate to keep firing. And I know it's been a lot made him his omission from the Japan squad, but it seems to always respond positively. And the best way he can do that is by getting on the score sheet. So I think he'll get a goal, and I think Haksabanovic will get the winner as well to make it 2-1 Celtic. But as Tony says, we will be back next week to preview that massive Glasgow Derby game. We'll also look back at Sunday's game against Ross County. So we won't leave it 3 weeks this time to be back podding, we promise. Make sure you're checking out the YouTube. Kieran and Sean are doing lots of good content over there. Just search for Pod Tims and you will find them there. Thanks to Trevor Sinclair for speaking to Tony after the Legends game. Thanks to Hamish coming on. Just remember to put the link for his book in the episode description. And thank you to you very much for taking the time to listen to a podcast. But until next week, keep well and cheers.
New glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.